Amen. I'm certainly appreciative to all of the brethren that participate in our morning worship service. And it's just so good to see the continual rotation and various brothers constantly stepping up to the plate. And we're so thankful to Brother Kathy and the leaders of this congregation for giving brothers the opportunity to serve and for brothers being faithful enough for others wanting to consider them for service as well. Read with me now our text for this morning, 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 9 through 18. Elijah has just finished his contest with the prophets of Baal on Mount Carmel. Jezebel, Ahab's wicked pagan queen, has threatened to kill Elijah, and the prophet of God has fled on foot as fast as he could to Mount Horeb in the south of Israel. And the Bible says in 1 Kings chapter 19, beginning with verse number 9, "And there he went into a cave and spent the night in that place. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him, and he said to him, 'What are you doing here, Elijah?' So he said, 'I have been very zealous for the Lord God of hosts, for the children of Israel have forsaken your covenant, torn down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword. I alone am left, and they seek to take my life.' Then he said, 'Go out and stand on the mountain before the Lord.' And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind tore into the mountains and broke the rocks in pieces before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still small voice. So it was, when Elijah heard it, that he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood in the entrance of the cave. Suddenly a voice came to him and said, 'What are you doing here, Elijah?' And he said, 'I have been very zealous for the Lord God of hosts, because the children of Israel have forsaken your covenant, torn down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword. I alone am left, and yet they seek to take my life.'" As part of our Standing on Holy Ground series, the tag for this text this morning will be entitled, "A Gentle Whisper." A gentle whisper. 3 points and the lesson will be yours. Number one, I want to talk about experiencing God's presence. Number two, I want to talk about missing God's presence. And number three, I want to talk about understanding God's presence. Is that all right? Now, what we learned in our text this morning is that God's presence is not always in the loud and powerful and the spectacular. Sometimes his presence is simply in the gentle breeze, in the whisper. Elijah has shortly before the text we read moments ago experienced the power and the presence of God in a most dynamic way on Mount Carmel. In fact, we studied that event a week ago, where the man of God confronted the prophets of Baal in that great contest on top of the mountain. And as he prayed for God to light the fire on that occasion, You will remember that the fire came and consumed not only the sacrifice, but also the altar and the water that was on the sacrifice and the water that was in the trenches. And now, only a couple of days later, Elijah is running for his life from this little lady, scared to death, running from Jezebel. And he has already despaired of life to the point of wishing that he could die. A man who had experienced the power of God in the most awesome, powerful, thundering, dynamic way one day. And now, a couple of days later, he's wishing he could die. Somebody been there? This man is now despairing for his life. He is a man who is desperately in need of holy ground. And the Lord tells him, as he's hiding in this cave, the Lord tells him to come out of the cave, for the presence of the Lord is about to pass by. And then there is, outside of the cave, this wind, this awesome, powerful wind that tears up the rocks and moves the mountain. But God is not in the wind. And then there comes this earthquake, and it's loud, church. It shakes the mountain. You know what it takes to shake a mountain? It shakes the mountain, but God is not in the earthquake. And then there is this fire, the kind of thing that God had made his presence known in on so many occasions. And this great fire came by, and God was not in the fire. And finally, there comes a gentle whisper, and that was the presence of God. Church, this is an interesting phrase right here that has been translated in different ways. The New International Version says a gentle whisper. The King James Version and the Revised Standard Version says a still, small voice. The New Revised Standard Version is interesting. It says, and after the fire, there came a sound of sheer silence. I mean, listen at that. There came the sound of sheer silence. It apparently meant nothing more than a gentle little breeze. Now, here's the question. Why did God send three awesome demonstrations of power outside the cave where Elijah was before he sent the gentle breeze in which his presence was? Perhaps it was to communicate to Elijah that the Lord had been with him all the time, all the way. From the very first time that he had heard that Jezebel was trying to take his life until that moment, the Lord had been with him. You remember he said, I'll never forsake you, nor will I ever leave you alone. Even when he doubted, as he ran for his life from Jezebel, that even when he didn't see fire, when he didn't hear wind, he was still present and working in Elijah's life. Do you think that might be a message that is still needed today? For the past few weeks, we have been involved in this series on holy ground. And we have explored time and again from many directions the need we have to sense and experience the presence of God in our lives. We got to know that God is with us, that he walks with us, that he talks with us, and that he identifies us as his own. And we have spoken of how it is okay. Church, I'm saying it's okay to seek a closer encounter with God.
And how the more we encounter God's presence, the more it affects our lives. We have talked about how awesome God's presence is, how awesome the presence of God is. And in general, we talked about the need we all have to pray in faith, to believe that God is going to answer our prayers, and to not be afraid to undertake that which is bigger than we are, if we will trust him to do it. You don't know if God's working in your life, if everything you can do, you got the power and you got the strength and you got the knowledge and the education to do it. Take on something that's bigger than you and see what God can do. We know what you can do. You know what kind of money you got. You know what kind of contacts you got. You got the hookup. Well, see what God can do. That's the real hookup. See what God can do. He can do more than you can even think or imagine. Don't be afraid. And be open to the leading of God in our lives today in so many different ways, church. But let me tell you what this text teaches us this morning about holy ground. I think we need to hear this. Three things. Number one, experiencing God's presence. Everyone doesn't experience God's presence in the same way. Mm-hmm. If you look at 1 Kings, let's look at that. 1 Kings verse 11 and 12. 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 11 and 12. He said, "Go out and stand on the mountain before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind tore into the mountains and broke the rocks in pieces before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still small voice." I believe that there is a real caution right here for us, church. You want to be leery of any religion that pushes everyone through the same cookie cutter pattern. That tells you everyone. Be careful about a religion that tells you everyone has to have the same feelings and the same experiences at the same time. If you don't feel this way or have this kind of experience, you haven't encountered God's presence. Watch that. God didn't always make his presence known in fire and in smoke and in burning bushes. That wasn't the way he operated with everybody. But Elijah had a problem remembering that. Now, folk, church, if Elijah can have a problem remembering that 40 days after he had experienced God on top of Mount Carmel, why can't we have a problem with that? I think we do. And sometimes we may feel like we haven't been led by the Lord, or we haven't encountered his presence because we haven't had the same kind of experience or feeling that someone else has had. I'm very cautious about that. You know, folks saying, "Well, all you got to do, well, I'm not just made like you. I can't handle things the way you handle things. Maybe I need a double portion of the Spirit of the Lord. I need God in another kind of way. I can't help sometimes doing the things I do, being the way that I am. I need God different from you." You know, some folk can look at a bottle of liquor and it don't mean nothing. Other folk just look at it and get drunk. Hold me up, Holy Ghost. You know, some folk can go to work and be there on time. Some folk just can't get up out the bed. You know, we all need God for different things in different kind of ways. Some folk got a bank account, thousands of dollars, been sitting there for years. You know, Lord, hold me, help me where I am. Lord, help me where I am.
Someone can tell of a time when they received an immediate and direct answer from God to prayer. And if you haven't had that experience, you might think that God doesn't answer your prayers. But you're wrong. God works with everyone in his own way. And we don't all have the same experience of God's presence. Isn't that true of everyone you read about in the Bible? God did not work in the same way with everyone. Nehemiah didn't have no burning bush like Moses. Joseph never heard the audible voice of God. Joshua never saw a staircase going up to heaven with angels ascending and descending on it. Everybody we read about in the Bible, everyone God's works, everyone we read about, God works in their lives in different ways. And they sense his presence in different ways. As he does so, as he encounters them, which also means, and listen to this, that we should also be careful about doubting someone else's experience based on lack of that experience in our own lives. God works in different ways with different people. I'm not advocating anything some denominational experience that's not in the Bible. Folk talking about something hit me in the top of my head and shot to the sole of my feet and chilled my spine and all that. I ain't talking about all that. I'm talking about what God does and says he will do. Which leads me to point number two. Missing God's presence. Church, it's easy to miss God in the small things of life. 1 Kings chapter 12 and verse 13. I just read it. There have been many times in the church when we have had special prayers for people who were facing serious health problems. I mean, we actually prayed for people that got up and said, I need prayer. And we have seen God work and do some dynamic things for them. And there was no doubt in our minds that it was God who was at work in their lives. I mean, I've asked people to pray for me. I prayed for me. I needed prayer about some things I didn't even want to ask nobody. You know, and I remember that song that said, just a little talk with Jesus will make everything all right. And I had to go in my own closet. I mean a literal closet. Make sure didn't nobody hear me. Because it was time to pray. And it was time to be real with God. And it was time to say, God, I'm struggling. And if you don't help me, I've been baptized in Jesus' name. You got all the power. And if you don't do something, I'm going to ruin myself in the church too. And when I got through, you're talking about straight and strong. There have been some times when God made me struggle. And it was like, well, you know, if it don't kill you, it'll make you strong. And I'm like, God, when? You know, help me right now. There have been some times when I'm talking about he did it right now. And there have been some times when I just had to go through and trust him. Trust him. Because there were some times, no doubt, God wanted some folk to see me struggle. There were some times when God, when I didn't want to be transparent, where God wanted folk to see my weaknesses and my gone wrongness. And that was a testimony, because then they could see what God was going to do. Folks say, yeah, that's a preacher. Mighty powerful and strong and gifted and good. But God wanted folk to see he's a man just like you. And he gets weak and he stumbles and he struggles. But look what I'm able to do. And now he can be straight and strong because he's trusting in my word. God is able. Don't give up on God. Don't give up on God. I'm convinced that God moves in our lives much more than we realize. Or it's easy to look at those dramatic moments and say, oh yes, God moved on that occasion because it was so direct and so overwhelming. But I'm convinced that he moves in our daily lives much more than we realize, and therefore much more than we give him credit for. Or you can pass the basket, say we need $30,000, and bam, there it is. And you're like, oh, thank you, Lord. But pass that basket and get $2. You see what I'm saying? And God gonna make you wait on it. But eventually he'll show you what he's able to do. And he'll take your smallness and put it with his bigness. And my, you talking about multiplying a few loaves and a few fish and feeding a multitude. God is able, church. Those gentle whisper times may be difficult for us to realize unless we are very sensitive to his movement in our lives. Hopefully over the past few weeks, we've become more sensitive. God may make his presence known to you in a sunrise. He may make it known to you in a rainbow. Instead of some more dramatic means that someone else could relate, but it's easy to miss God in the small things. Somebody said, child, I was crossing the street and this big dump truck just missed me. Uh-huh. But then it might be a small little tick that didn't bite you. You see what I'm saying? Everything is not always so dramatic. Which leads me to this final point. Point number three. Understanding God's presence. You see, one is not more spiritual or less spiritual based on how God chooses to make himself known to him. Or to them. You see, because you have encountered God's presence in the gentle whisper, and someone else encountered God's presence in the fire, does not mean that they are more in touch with the Lord than you are. Elijah needed and received both in his life. God works with different people in different ways. And we cannot put him in a box as hard as we try. Jesus said in John chapter 3 that the Holy Spirit is like the wind. John chapter 3 and verse 8, Jesus told Nicodemus, the wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it is going. So it is with everyone that is born of the Spirit. In other words, you never know which way the wind is going to blow. And you cannot predict which way the Spirit is going to move in someone's life. And yet we try to do that. We try to put God in a box. And not let him work beyond the parameters that we have placed upon him. Church, one should not look down on anyone, nor look up to anyone, based on some way they have encountered the presence of God in their lives. Let God be the judge. Let his word be the judge. God gives us what we need, and you don't need what I need. And I don't need what you need. And God gives us what we ask for that will advance his kingdom on earth. And if you need a greater awareness of his presence than you have right now, just ask him for it. Ask him. And then when you receive it, you will not be spiritually superior to anyone else. There may be times when God is more direct with you. And there may be times when God is less direct in your life. How am I doing, church? Do you need to pause more often and look for the back of God moving through your life? Do you need to be more sensitive to God moving in the little things in your life? Rest assured, church, when you are careful to look for God at work in your life, in the little details, I guarantee you, you will find yourself far more often lifted to holy ground. I pray that this church will always be open to the working and the moving of God. And once again, as we approach the time when we are about to offer the invitation of Jesus Christ, God may be trying to lead you to a new commitment or renewal of faith. And I don't know how he's working in your life. I don't know if he's working with you in one way or another way, if he's working with you through the earthquake or through the fire or what, or through the gentle breeze. Many have spoken to me and written me notes these past few weeks about renewed faith and a new hope as they have become increasingly aware of the presence of God in their lives. Church, if you haven't had that experience, this morning could be the new beginning to launch your walk with God. Whether you need to be baptized or just ask for prayer or renew your commitment to walk closer to the heart of God, you need to be willing to commit to him in that way, because God will never forsake you, nor will he ever leave you alone. God is our refuge. And he's our strength. And he's a very present help in times of trouble. I said in times of trouble. And if you keep on living, you're going to have some trouble. But he's a very present help. In other words, you can't be everywhere and do everything, but God can. He's never coming or going because he's already there. He's in all places at the same time. I said he's here in the midst of your suffering, your sorrow, and your sickness. He's in your storm and he's in your crisis. If you have invited him to be a part of your life, he was in the house with you before you left for church. And when you got in your car, God was already in your car. He met you here at the building. And the unique thing is he never even left your house. I said he met you right here at the building, and he's still at your house watching over things at your house while you praising him at church, because God is a present help in times of trouble. You might be in trouble and the paramedics may have to come, but God don't. The doctor got to come, the ambulance got to come, family got to come, friends and neighbor, the attorney got to come, but God don't. Because he already there. Your banker, your father, your mother got to come. But God don't. Because I said he's already there. He's a very present help in times of trouble. That's why the Bible calls him Jehovah Shammah, the God who's always there. I tell you, while you're getting ready to call for help, he's already there. While you're trying to figure out who you can talk to, God is already listening. God is in the test. God is in the storm. God is there. You don't have to wait on God or worry about God to come, because he's a present help. You can fight without surrender. You can struggle without stress. You can run without regret. You can testify without compromise. You can die without fear. That's why I don't want to be in a financial crisis, a health crisis, an emotional crisis, a spiritual crisis without God, because he's a present help in times of trouble. And if you want him, these are the terms. You got to come. You got to believe in the Son of God. Acts chapter 15, verse 7 and 8. You got to repent of your sins. Acts 17 and 30. You got to confess the sweetest name that ever rolled off of mortal tongues. Romans chapter 10 and verse 10. Burial and baptism for the remission of sin. Acts chapter 2 and verse 38. Romans chapter 6 and verse 4. To have your sins washed away. Acts chapter 22 and verse 16. To be saved when this life is over. 1 Peter chapter 3, 21 and 22. My friend, the Bible is right. If you want to be saved, you need to give your life to Christ this morning and say, Lord, speak and your servant will hear. Command and I will obey. Lord, I surrender all, because I want to be in that number that's been washed in the blood of the Lamb. They will hunger no more. They will thirst no more, because they have left the tribulations of the world and they've been washed in your blood. The sun will not shine on them, neither will they need any heat. And the Lamb who's in the midst of the throne shall lead them to fountains of living waters. God himself will wipe all tears from your eyes. I want to be in that number, and only those of us that's in the church of Christ will be in that number that's been washed by the blood of the Lamb. We will be able to stand and sing the songs of Zion, walk the streets of gold, touch the walls of jasper, drink from fountains that never run dry, and everything will be all right if you'll just give your life to Jesus Christ right now, as together we stand and give God glory and praise.